my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Way Back Playback, episode number 383. This week, we bring you the first hour of WWF Royal Rumble 2002. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. As you know, my co-host Jim Valley is taking extended medical leave. However, joining us as a guest host this week, the man who is perhaps best known as the host of Taskmaster Talks here on Creative Control Network, in addition to the dozen or so other shows that he does. He is one half of the two-man power trip of wrestling, John Pozorowski, a.k.a. John Poz. John, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, return to 2002, and see retired old-timers like Chris Jericho and Edge and Billy Gunn and... Wait a minute.
I am ready. Thank you for having me back. Appreciate it.
No problem. Glad to do it. And we're glad to have all of you back with us here. And as we continue 2022, we're, you know, the people voted. They wanted this show, which is, you know, it's Royal Rumble time. It makes perfect sense. 20th anniversary of this taking place. And I'd like to thank all of you, especially those of you in Australia and the United States who got us back on the Apple podcasting charts in both countries this past week. So thank you very much. Who knew, John, that people loved primetime wrestling as much as they do?
Oh, I believe it. We used to be a staple. Used to be.
Yeah, it is. Could have done the whole... Well, let's see. That's true. All right. So also, we'll be talking about it later, but patreon.com/waybackplayback. We want you to sign up in the month of January. We've got stuff for you, and hopefully we'll be recording something special for the Patreon people after we get done with this show. Right now, let's start talking about it. It is January 20, 2002, and because I didn't have time for much show prep, we're going to be doing some of the show prep as we're talking during the show. This is one of those times when we do this in hour-long blocks. This is one of those times where there was a long third hour, and because there's a long Royal Rumble match in 2002, you get a long third hour. So one of the hours has to be, you know, shortened up accordingly, and that's going to be the first hour. So we are going to do the first three matches of the Royal Rumble in 2002 in just a moment. Before that, we are going to do, we're going to take you back to, actually, to taping on Tuesday, January the 15th, WWE taping SmackDown in Heat at the CenturyTel Center in Bossier City, Louisiana. A good arena and usually a good noisy crowd. We'll give you the go-home match from that show. The previous show for World Wrestling Entertainment, or the World Wrestling Federation, excuse me, was Saturday the 19th. The WWF's B show was in Chattanooga, Tennessee, in front of 4,370. The A show was the show with Steve Austin and Triple H on it. So the B show had, among other things, if you were there, you got to see the Intercontinental Champion Edge defeat William Regal. And in the main event, Rob Van Dam defeating Booker T. Just as sort of a hello. Let me see what the A show had. Previous A show was Houston. Yeah, it's Austin versus Booker T. Jericho versus Triple H. You know all the classics. But they did okay back then. But you can sort of feel though the excitement of WWE ramping down from 2000 and 2001, the year at the start of 2002. And there's various reasons for that. The Rumble, 16,106 announced. The actual attendance, 12,915. It was a sellout, no matter in the Phillips Arena in Atlanta, no matter how you slice it. And yeah. And this is the sort of crowd, I guess, this is sort of like what we had on day one for WWE, except the crowd is sort of hot for it. So, Scott, you knew we were going to talk about our Patreon and what we're going to do here in 2022. I think for the new year, we're going to bump the, you know what we have on Patreon. We have patreon.com/waybackplayback. We have a few tiers on there that you can charge. We have all the, no matter what tier you're on, you get all the episodes. All the episodes, as many of them, most of a big chunk of them now without commercials. But, you know, actually, most of them are without commercials, which is good because, you know, some people are annoyed by extensive commercials like this very one, Scott, where we plug stuff. I don't have to worry about that because there's no reason to give you commercials for Patreon when you're already subscribing to Patreon. Right?
Agreed. Pat, that's one of the great features of Patreon. No commercials.
That is one of the, that is very important to us, folks. And now, you know, we have the Black Scorpion tier. That's where you get, you know, for $10 a month, you get everything, all the bonus stuff that we do, all the stuff I dig out from the archives of when Jim and I both worked for the Pro Wrestling Torch. And obviously, you know, thank you to Wade Keller for making that deal. So extending that courtesy to our fans, or if you just feel like, or if you want to, you can go sign up for the Torch VIP service. And presuming you can find all of them, you can download all and listen to all of our shows from there. That's fine with us, but, yeah, that works out. That works out quite well. But what we're going to do this month is we're going to bump the price of our Time Traveler tier, the you know, the basic tier with shows in advance and shows without commercials. We're going to bump that up, I think, to $4.89, less than $5 a month. And what we're going to do is we're going to throw in one of the bonus episodes that Jim and I have made. I think we're going to throw in the October 1986 episode of Wrestling Challenge that we did a watch along for that you have not heard, unless you're a subscriber to the Patreon. So that's what we'll do this month for people who want to sign up and try out the Time Traveler tier. I think that's a fair deal.
That sounds good, Pat.
Yeah, and we're trying to add you know, we've been trying to add more bonus episodes. We've done a bunch of bonus matches in the past. Just testing the waters, making sure that there's extra content for people who who enjoy Wayback Playback and enjoy things Jim and I have done and want more of it. So we're definitely gonna try to do something with Scott here for as a bonus for the Patreon. We'll see how that goes here though. It's been a long day here, folks, at the studios.
Understood, Pat.
I think it's probably been a long day for Scott too. And we thank everybody who has helped make Wayback Playback happen. We're up to we're gonna hit episode 400. And later this year in 2022, and we thank you all very much for your support. And stick around at the end of the show, and be sure to vote at Real Pat McNeil on Twitter to help decide what show we're going to be watching next. All right, so John and listeners, let's go briefly back to SmackDown. It shows up on Peacock as season 4, episode 3. It is January 17th, 2002, and you know, pause and take as long as you need to get there. We are going to go to 1 hour, 8 minutes, and 20 seconds. Now, what do you remember about the 2002 Royal Rumble, John?
I was actually kind of pleasantly surprised with it, just thinking back. I actually liked it. I liked that they kind of maybe not announced all the surprises, but I did like that we were going to get some surprises, even though technically they're not really surprises because they announced them, but some old familiar faces. So it's pretty good. I remember Mr. Perfect makes quite the great run towards the final four and maybe even final three, which is nuts. But I love that. I love that Goldust is back. There's a lot of good stuff going on. Yeah, I do remember a brief little Austin. Yep, they announced Goldust. A brief little Austin Booker T feud, which was fun. 2002 was not bad. Not bad at all.
Okay, now you might remember, though, and this is how I remembered it 20 years ago. You might remember that the Royal Rumble was the match where Triple H came back from his quad injury that he had sustained 8 months previously. During the infamous tag team match with Austin and Triple H against Benoit and Jericho, I was reminded that actually was not the case. So if you're ready, we're going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. Here we go. There. Yes. Here in Bossier City, Louisiana, a mere 3 nights before the Rumble on SmackDown. Well, Xbox.com has a Halo Combat Evolved. Oh my goodness, Stephanie McMahon Helmsley is getting into it with Deborah McMichael Austin. Oh dear. Well, that can't be good.
It's going to be a barn burner between those two. It's going to be good.
So that's how we're getting this tag match, because as it turns out, you know, well, Triple H obviously was on the house shows getting ready for the Rumble, getting, you know, getting the timing and cardio back together. But no, they did not have his return match at the Rumble be his return match. This was his return match on SmackDown.
Oh, do not remember that. Wow.
In tag team action, it is Kurt Angle and Booker T against, reunited for one night only, the two-man power trip of Steve Austin and Triple H. Whose spouses, by the way, are not getting along.
Nice. Very typical WWE style. Nice.
Yeah.
I feel like that return was a bit manufactured. The Triple H face turn, return, beautiful day. Because he got a great pop at MSG and never got a pop like that ever again. It seemed very manufactured.
Well, I mean, it was, you know, it was a great video. I mean, he suffered a injury, which would have sidelined a lot of people longer than 8 months. And he rehabbed it very hard. And he worked out with such fervor that Bruce Mitchell declared upon his return at MSG, good God, it's quadruple H. He's huge. Yeah, so.
Yes.
But yeah. And oh, that's Kurt Angle with hair, by the way. In case it's like some of the younger kids are confused.
Before Edge shaved it off a few months after this.
Angle and Booker T. Yeah. And people aren't even chanting, you suck yet. It's hard to believe.
Yeah, it's hard to believe.
All right. Speaking of old
Patriot music.
Speaking of old, Final Fantasy X. Yeah. You don't feel old yet. 20 years ago. Okay, here we go. Oh, yeah, Triple H has to come out last. Yeah.
Yeah, with Austin looks thrilled, by the way. Yeah, I was going to say, oh, my God.
Yeah, there's a reason why Steve Austin was ornery during the first half of 2002.
I feel like this was the beginning, of his end as he'd walk out on them in June, but the booking of him is a little suspect starting here.
Yeah. Here's the thing, because we can talk about that because, you know, I mean, obviously they had big plans for Triple H when they, you know, I mean, obviously the two-man power trip was supposed to keep running, and then they were supposed to split at some point, and I guess at WrestleMania 18, they're going to have their main event for the title. That makes sense to me. Okay. But Hunter's hurt. So he missed a whole lot of this. So usually in WWF fashion, you know, back in the day, whoever had the hot year and was ready to hit the next level, that'd be the person you'd be going with at WrestleMania. But kind of not this guy. I mean, WWFHHH.com. Yeah, you're not going to find a website there, by the way.
Not anymore. No. It just, I don't know, it felt kind of strange. Like, they were going with Triple H no matter what. Kind of don't mind.
That's exactly what was happening.
Kind of didn't mind kind of where they were headed, but he is not a very good babyface. And I love the fact that Hogan comes back and was like, you know what, brother? Turn a face again, and I'm beating you for the title. I just love that. Just killed it then and there. He didn't, you know, maybe deserve to be champ, but at that point in time, and I wasn't feeling Triple H at all, especially when you got Austin and Hogan there. I mean, oof. And Rock is still hanging out. Ooh,
and to be honest, you know, Triple H has always seemed more comfortable as the bad guy, and I think he's admitted as such several times in interviews. So he enjoyed, that's what he'd rather be doing anyway.
Yep.
But because I'm not sure babyface Triple H against heel Steve Austin at WrestleMania 18 would have worked for anybody.
Yeah, it would have been bad. Yeah. It just, I don't know, thinking back, it's like, okay, Triple H, not really the guy, but they're trying to kind of force him to be the guy, and then they're trying to force him in this babyface role.
He had a great run going up to WrestleMania 2000, and he was the guy that year. I mean, enough so that they held off Rock winning the title for another month, just to make sure he got that WrestleMania win, and he's over as a main guy. So, I mean, the thing is, they didn't really need to give him this. I mean, he hadn't had the year where you could say, oh, he deserves it. Well, but anyway, we're going to get some fun here.
Well, back and forth. Love it. Little pinball action.
They're going to get all these callbacks into them being the two-man power trip. And yeah.
Yep. I don't know why this has been wiped from my memory. I have no idea why. Isn't that crazy?
It was wiped from mine, too.
It's a pretty star-studded main event here.
Yeah, pretty good. I mean, plus, I mean, they, you know, this is one of those times. This is something, by the way, kids, WWF used to do. They'd spend like an entire show building up for a the main event at the end of the 2 hours. And, you know,
build something up, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Since they had Raw and SmackDown with the same wrestlers on it, they were able to set it up on, you know, on the Monday for the Thursday afterward.
Ooh, stun gun. I know
that
also
sounds crazy. Yep.
Yes, there that does sound crazy. Stun gun, little blast from the past there. I know you'd love that.
Oh, yeah. Austin's fired up. Yep, there. And Angle goes to the eyes. And really, the guy who probably, you know, could have been made in 2002 is Kurt Angle. And I mean, even more than Chris Jericho.
Did you find that strange that Jericho was the one that won that one-night tournament and not Kurt Angle?
I can go back to what I was writing in the Torch, but the minute he won that title, I'm like, oh, God, that's what they're doing. Yeah, that's what they're doing. You know, Chris Jericho is going to be the... Triple H is the angel on Chris Jericho's shoulder. He's not going to lose until WrestleMania.
Right.
And that was kind of their MO back then.
I guess, you know, you make another heel star, you make another main eventer, but it just felt like, man, I'm surprised Kurt Angle wasn't given the spot there. And he even said that in a recent interview, he thought he was getting the title and that he was almost like basically told he was winning that night.
Yeah, well, it doesn't really get any better. I mean, he's not in a huge role at WrestleMania 18. Kurt Angle isn't. So, you know,
no, not at all.
Against Kane? Not your time, brother. Yeah, no, that was not. I mean, Angle, you know.
And Angle, you would think with the Angle Triple H history that it could have been Angle Triple H main eventing WrestleMania would have kind of made more sense.
I very much got the impression that that's not what Triple H wanted. So, and you'll have to ask why. But
yeah, why? Very strange.
They didn't make Jericho with coming out of WrestleMania 18. He needed to Maybe what made him was winning the Undisputed title, so we could talk about that for several years. But he was never, Jericho was never the top guy for a while. And I don't think he ever was the top guy in WWE anyway. So
not really. 08, 09 for a couple months, but not really.
Yeah. All right, and here comes Booker T. Yeah, and Booker and Austin was a fun feud. So
yeah, I'm surprised you didn't really get like a pay-per-view level. It was more, Raw, SmackDown, price check on a jackass, like
that's
that
still
great stuff.
I've tried to get that one to win the poll, and we haven't had that happen yet. But yeah,
they could have had a pay-per-view match or something. It seemed like they were.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
They could have. They had like this was back in the era when they actually had 12 pay-per-views a year. So yeah, they could have. They could have easily thrown that in there.
Now they don't have any pay-per-views. They're premium live events.
Oh, that's right. They're premium live events, yes.
Pretty funny seeing that on the poster.
Yeah, well, because they don't sell it as pay-per-view anywhere, so
nope.
I don't think. I mean, it's accurate. I'm going to give them credit for being accurate. I mean, WrestleMania should be your premium live event.
Oh, Luthez pressed by Austin.
Yes. After Angle's waiting. There you go. Yeah, the other thing that that turned out to be bad timing, I suppose, in 2001 is Austin's, Angle's babyface push against Austin. It started out getting over, and then you had 9/11, and suddenly Kurt Angle doing a U.S., old-fashioned Bob Backlund babyface push, wasn't as funny anymore.
No.
I think that I think that hurt a great deal. So, but I mean, they had some more juice in Austin and Angle, and that could have been a WrestleMania match. But
yeah, you know, absolutely,
very
yeah.
easily. Yeah.
Seemed like Kurt Angle got pushed to the wayside of Mania. So did Booker. Remember Booker Edge over the Shampoo?
They're fighting over Shampoo. Yes, I do. The axe kick. Yeah.
Yes, love that axe.
I mean, Booker main evented SummerSlam. I mean, this is, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, if they were disappointed with the way, you know, SummerSlam drew, then I don't really think you can pin that on Booker. Well, I mean, these are four Hall of Fame guys, no matter, you know, no matter how you slice it. So might as well just enjoy it. Oh, he's going to stop a mud hole in Austin.
He's going to stop a mud hole in his ass.
I mean, it was just such a messed up year. You had Survivor Series 2001, and literally the night after that, they switched Angle back to being a heel and Austin back to being a babyface and never really explained it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's funny, the crowd reacted like perfectly the way you should had they wanted to, even though there was no explanation whatsoever.
Crowd's like, okay, this is better.
Yeah, like, thank God Austin's not a heel anymore.
Yeah. Maybe they did a lot of things well, but you know, they you know, that year they botched the WCW invasion, and yep. There's no other. Yeah. Let's see, they didn't have.
Who do you think had the best run at anybody from that WCW invasion? Booker T?
Gonna say, yeah. I mean, well, Rey Mysterio technically wasn't part of the invasion because he didn't come in until the next, you know, didn't come in until after this WrestleMania. So, yeah, I guess you're gonna say, I'm gonna say Booker. I mean, you could maybe say Rob Van Dam, but, you know, yeah, I mean, Booker in terms of longevity. Yeah.
It's like Booker and then Tori Wilson. You know what I mean? It's funny. No, it's like Tori nobody Wilson, else
yeah,
really.
She had that,
yeah, like
she
nobody
had
else had a good run.
Undefeated streak in the yes. SmackDown's women division.
Yes. Yep. Nobody else plus, had a good run.
Plus the chance to do lesbian angles with Dawn Marie. So.
Yes, that was excellent.
Yeah. Well,
and that Al Wilson storyline was excellent.
Yeah. just...
oh, what happened there?
I mean, I think what happened is Vince and the you know, the other people in creative were just, you know, they met Al Wilson, and after spending time interacting with him, they're like, we love this guy and we got to keep him around. So they kept giving him stuff to do.
Yep.
And you got to figure poor Tori's like, oh, Dad.
Yeah. Oh.
You heard the best Al Wilson story ever, though, right?
No, which one? The one where
They arrive at the, you know, she's, you know, she and he and Tori, you know, arrive at the airport. I forget where they are, for a SmackDown, and they, you know, and they're in baggage claim, and they meet up and they see, you know, Vince and Stephanie McMahon, and they're like, and you know, Al's like, hey Vince, can we catch a ride with you to the hotel? And Tori's like, no, and Vince just laughed and said, yeah, come on, there's room in the limo, come on. But yeah, they can understand that Tori's just so humiliating.
Yeah. Oh my God. Jesus.
What? They're going to the hotel. They're going to the same hotel.
That's great.
Yeah.
He didn't know any better.
No, he didn't.
They're really teasing some tension. They were Triple H and Austin.
Oh yeah, they did that very well. Well, if your wives are fighting, you're going to be fighting pretty much. You know.
Yep. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. It's Cody Rhodes time. Oh no, it's not. Oh, very nice.
It's another interesting thing.
Angle's so good back then.
Oh yeah. They tease an Angle and Triple H even at the Royal Rumble. So I mean,
yeah,
it's interesting that it wasn't the main event. Man, Jericho out of nowhere.
I mean, it became, you know, obvious in two, you know, I mean, they have that feud in 2000 where Triple H just pulls rank and ends up giving Angle nothing, and
yep.
then they're back and they do that. And Austin just lays out and lets Hunter pin Booker, which, you know.
After a nice stunner pedigree combination.
But there it is, yep, the two-man power trip. They get one last match together. Yep, there you go. Rawr!
It's crazy. Triple H, The Rock, Steve Austin,
they've got all this talent.
Yeah, especially baby faces.
They got talent they would kill to have, you know, now.
Yep. But it's funny, the heels, Jericho, Angle, Booker T, they never really gave them anything substantial. No, Jericho's the champion, but what a joke. I mean, he gets Larry the dog, whatever the hell the dog's name was.
Oh, gosh. Lucy the dog. Oh, Undertaker's here.
Lucy. Oh, jeez, Undertaker.
Like, hi. Oops, hi, guys.
There's another guy.
Hi, guys. I'm in the Royal Rumble, too. And Angle's like, yeah, I don't want to be here. All right. And that's actually a pretty good tease for the Rumble. So, okay, that works for me. All right, so now we'll, if you don't mind, we'll get over to the 2002 Royal Rumble its own self. Yeah, it's sort of hard to do the what's going on in wrestling at this point, because what's going on in wrestling, at least in North America, is this. I mean, this was the problem with covering wrestling in late 2001 and early 2002. There's no competition. You're maybe going to get the World Wrestling All-Stars and pay-per-view in 2002, but there's, you know, and you did end up getting a pay-per-view from them, but they end up not being competition. But it's kind of obvious they weren't competition before you saw their pay-per-views. So it was just, unless you're, I mean, Ring of Honor hasn't started yet. TNA hasn't started yet. There's people who are watching Ohio Valley and, you know, getting the tapes, but Japan maybe, or Mexico, I guess. That's where you are. Okay, let's hold on. I'm trying to get to the 2002 Rumble, John. And this is Peacock, so it's amazingly difficult to get anything done on Peacock. No offense. All right, here we go. Royal Rumble 2002. That's me. Okay, that's me. I'm just jabbering and not paying attention. Okay, here we go. All right. Shoot. Okay, I'm gonna get it back to 0 minutes 0 seconds. I hope. Okay, yeah, there we go. Just keeps going. Okay. Not close. How about 1 second in? All right. Are we right at the 2002 Royal Rumble? 1 second in? Is that good enough?
Yeah. Everybody that is good.
Okay. All right. So we got our first three matches set to go, and we're all going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. Okay. And here we go. And it's actually kind of an interesting first three matches. We get the sort of the history of the Royal Rumble, because this is the 15th Rumble, as opposed to, geez, we're going to get the 35th. Yeah, I guess we are. I mean, this is back when you could remember every Rumble, and I still sort of can, just not as well with the later ones.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny. I can remember, you know, from 88 to 04, and then after that, it's like pretty much a blur. Hey, I don't know why.
I can remember 05. 05 was nuts, but I can remember 05. 06, I can remember because of Rey Mysterio. That's pretty much, you know.
Oh, yes. Oh, well, how could you forget 05, right, with the double quad?
Yeah, that's a class. Yeah, that's. Now, this is the 20th anniversary of this one, and it's a significant one. I mean, not my all-time favorite, but, you know. People seem to like Royal Rumbles, even the not as good ones.
It's an exciting show, usually.
Yes,
it is.
Yes.
And 02, I mean, like we're saying, the roster is pretty damn loaded. It is. Especially then you're adding in more.
Oh, yes.
Guys,
and did I mention there's a street fight on this show? The street fight, well, next week's show, the street fight between Ric Flair and Vince McMahon. The Atlanta street fight.
Good about Nate.
Okay. There's the big Rumbletron. Yay. Okay. Oh, yes. And the, and I almost forgot the wrestling news. Okay. So, wrestling news at this time. First of all, there's big doings in Japan where Great Muda and Kendo Kishin and a couple other guys, and Satoshi Kojima jumped from New Japan to All Japan. And about that same time, All Japan's deal, you know, All Japan breaks their working arrangement with New Japan. Oh, and we're at WWF New York and Times Square, by the way. So that was going on, and that was kind of messy. Also, the word has gotten out that Vince is negotiating with Hogan, Hall, and Nash to bring in the NWO for WrestleMania and for the brand split. Because everybody's heard that the brand split's coming.
Love it.
Yes. Oh, yeah, we're going to open up with the battle for the tag team titles. Here are your challengers. You may know these guys. Bubba Ray, D-Von, with their manager, Stacy Keibler.
Who does not fit with them at all.
I don't think they cared.
No.
Oh, Stacy Keibler's your manager. Oh, okay.
I know Lawler cared.
Well, Lawler cared, yeah. I can understand that. Good gravy. Oh, and here are your tag team champions, by the way.
Oh.
Did I forget to mention this?
Taz and Spike Dudley.
That's right. The mood is about to change, yes. Oh, yeah, Spike Dudley's been injured by the Dudleys, you know.
Weird pairing and weird to have Taz as the tag champ, but at least they were doing something with him at this point.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, they, you know, you can push Taz and he can have him over. They just, I mean, he's one of those guys. They, you know, he got in there. He started complaining when other guys were wearing orange because orange was his color. And, you know, just, I mean, yeah, you know, the locker room didn't respond well to Taz.
I can see that. It's weird that they put him in this getup, too, like the full garb instead of his tights, too. I thought that was strange.
All right. Well,
he also said he was promised a match with The Undertaker or a feud with The Undertaker. I find that hard to believe. I feel like that's just they're like hyperbole. Like, oh, well, let you.
I think that maybe they ended up doing him a favor by not giving him that match with The Undertaker because I have a feeling how it would have gone. Kind of like Diamond Dallas Page's feud with The Undertaker.
Yeah, where Sarah gets the win and he never really gets a match and looks like a complete fool.
Yeah.
Undertaker, a little bit more political.
I'm pretty sure DDP is on this Rumble too. So,
yes.
Oh no, I mean they did this feud in ECW before, so you know people, you know, you're getting Spike Dudley and a partner against the Dudleys. I mean, you know, this is not.
Yeah. Yep. You'd be Balls Mahoney, and then yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, they're not bringing in Balls Mahoney.
No, not at this point.
They made that mistake later. And actually, you know, Balls Mahoney later, you know, in the WWE ECW run, as I understand it, was a model citizen compared to, you know, to John Rickner in the original ECW.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, you know, Balls' other big problem was, you know, Axel Rotten couldn't even stay sober long enough for the tryout match, which was
wow. Crazy though, Taz debuts in MSG, huge pop, great debut, beats Angle, and then you know 2 years later he's just opening card tag team guy.
Yeah, creative. He was a whipping boy for you know during the Alliance thing. He was one of the whipping boys for Austin.
Yep.
Like we'll give him something to do, and here's something to do. Yeah.
It's funny I can see Vince being like, "This guy's too short." But Vince, he can suplex Bam Bam Bigelow through a ring. I don't care; he's too short.
Yeah. It's one of those things where Vince sometimes wasn't paying too much attention to what the creative department was doing. Like for example, okay, who the F hired Raven? Which is one of the I don't know if Jim Ross ever admitted that line happened in a creative meeting, but supposedly it happened.
It's a great line.
Yeah. They did manage to make use of Raven for a while, though.
Yeah. So. Anyway, the hardcore division.
But there was some bad blood for, there was some bad blood from Scott's previous run. So
it's funny, as soon as he quits, right, and then pretty much waived, I guess, the 90-day clause, he ended up in TNA immediately and made a huge splash and had an awesome run.
Yeah, he did. A run which he could not have had in, yeah.
No, yep.
Yes.
Uh-oh, double team?
Oh, no.
Oh, miscommunication between the Dudley. Yeah.
No, I mean, it's, yeah, but the problem was when they, by the time they gave him the title, it was like 2 years after when they, when he should have gotten the title in the first place.
Yeah.
Based on what, you know, because he was more over then.
Yep.
Oh, well.
Oh, head and arm Taz Blacks. Another head and arm Taz Blacks. Other lights. Taz is a house of fire. Oh, here comes Spike.
Oh, there was not. Oh, here comes Spike. I mean, and you know, it's pretty obvious that Bubba and Devon loved Matt Heisen and were more than willing to sell for him.
Right. Taz too, obviously.
Which made this, yeah.
Yep.
Lacey's on the apron. Oh, come on.
What is Kipo doing? She's shaking her ass. Whoa. She oh, goes my to goodness. Slap Taz and missed by half a Stacey mile.
Keebler, yeah.
She missed that slap by half a mile.
Hmm. Oh, I got a sign for LillianGarciaFanClub.com. It's gone now, but.
Oh.
There you go.
He tapped immediately. He tapped. Wow, damn.
On tapped right away.
The Kanta Hajime. You would probably now call it Red Rum, but it's well, Taz Mission.
Taz Mission is fine. I would call it Taz Mission.
Big win there for Taz and Spike. Why their team, I have no idea, but big win.
There we go. Taz and Spike, ladies and gentlemen, your tag team champions.
Pretty short match. What, 5 minutes, 6 minutes?
Right. Oh, this does help that you have Jim Ross there, you know, announcing. Oh, yeah, so last Monday on Raw, William Regal knocks out Rob Van Dam with the Nux. And then knocks out Edge with the Nux. And by pinning the Intercontinental Champion, William Regal gets an Intercontinental title shot. Now. Oh my goodness. Edge and Test. See, if you go and watch the rest of that SmackDown show we just watched, you'll see all this. Edge gets disqualified by Nick Patrick.
The greatest ref in the business.
Yeah.
Whoa, what a chair shot to the head. Unprotected chair shot to the head.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's going to get fined. You know that.
Nick's an ex-wrestler. He knows the score.
Remember Edge? Remember that guy? I wonder what happened to him.
Yeah, I know. Cool. Oh, he's at the Rumble coming up.
Yeah, he's got a match coming up, right? It's him and Beth against Miz and Maryse.
Yep. Hey, makes sense. Right. He's promising an education. Mm-hmm. Edge's promos are so much better, though.
Oh, now for sure. I feel like this is even some of his best in-ring work. I didn't really like him back in the day too much. Uh-huh. Very basic. Mm-hmm. Oh, there he is.
I guess somebody who's always likable. Our man, William Peel. Yes.
In great shape here as well.
Yep. Yeah, he got himself back into shape.
Yes, Nick Patrick. Yes.
Yes. All right. He's got it. Okay, Atlanta. There's the Lillian Garcia fans. Nick Patrick's checking for looking for brass knucks. See where Regal's hiding him. You know, without checking his tights or his knee pads, evidently.
I was going to say the two obvious places where it's probably is.
Trying to remember which one of Edge's ridiculous theme songs this was. This was the Rob Zombie one?
Oh, yeah. Wow, that was an interesting sign. Did you see that?
Yeah, that was interesting.
It just said some Jewish guy.
Okay, well, hey. That really narrows it down. I don't know. Oh, yeah, still to come, your main event for this hour, of course, is the women's title match with Trish Stratus defending against Jazz.
Nice.
No, really.
That star-studded lineup, that's what we get for the first hour main event. Wow.
I know. Well, hey, we did pretty well in terms of star power. Oh, my. Are you going to really go in fishing around in there? Really, Nick? Found him. Found him, though. Yeah. You don't want to know where he's got the second pair hidden. All right, here we go.
He's looking to put them right here. See where I left them? Here they are.
All right.
Big back body drop.
Regal's in trouble early. Yeah, I mean, things turned out good for Regal. He got taken care of. Regal's the guy that gave, that Paul Levesque came to and got the advice, and Regal told him, "Hey, go to WWF." And Hunter evidently thought that was good advice and took care of Regal. So
he's hooked him up ever since.
Yeah.
It's one thing, Triple H is pretty loyal to his guys. Terry Taylor's got a job forever. He's got a job forever. Matt Bloom's got a job forever.
No, I think that's admirable. Yeah. The question is, when's he coming back? Does Triple H have a job forever?
Right. It's a good point.
Well, Shawn Michaels, he brought Shawn Michaels back when, almost nobody thought, let's get Shawn Michaels involved in NXT. Yeah. Hunter saw something.
Yeah, Michaels is in charge.
Yeah, I know.
Good old HP Shizzle.
Which explains why we're recording now instead of watching NXT, but that's another story. Anyway, it's blaming Shawn Michaels for what's happened to NXT just isn't, that's not fair to anybody. There we go. All right, Regal.
Ooh, oh, Regalplex. Wow. Oh, Regalplex.
Yep, they're throwing, they're throwing each other around. They haven't slowed down the, they haven't slowed down the violence. They haven't taken out all the high impact suplexes and shots on the head and neck yet.
Yeah, thank God.
Well, I think we're. I think the business has changed, though. I mean, I think we're. I think we've hit a point now where you're going to have. I mean, I think AEW has set a tone where he's saying we can make money without doing a single house show. And that solves the problem of giving guys time off. So
true. I wonder when they start just doing a few more shows.
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm saving it for the Soul show. And WWE is not doing that many house shows. Look at the house show schedule 3 years ago compared to now.
Yeah, true. Very, very limited.
Yeah, plus they had gotten down to the point where they weren't making that much money off the house shows. I mean, they're not even having the NXT guys make a loop anymore, which was part of the point of being down in Florida. getting those guys work.
Crazy. Back in the day, the model was to tease you with some TV stuff and make you go to the house shows. Now it's like, hey, let's just do TV and have no house shows.
Well, now it's like we have a hell of a time getting people out of the house. So.
Yeah. Yep. Plus all that TV money.
Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah.
I used to love going to house shows back in the day.
I did too. I mean, as much as possible, I'd go to the house shows and skip the TV tapings because I could watch the TV tapings. You know, it was, I mean, it's fun to go to TV a few times, but you know, after a while, when you realize I'm paying and I'm getting the exact same stuff, especially with a 3-hour Raw, they're not slipping in a whole lot of dark matches. You're getting the exact same stuff you see on TV. And you know, when you're at home, you can like go to the bathroom during the commercials.
Yep. Or turn on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, well, that's true too. Yes. And I'd like to congratulate my friends Bogus and Dano for making the finals of our fantasy football for making the Armchair Bowl, the finals of our fantasy football league. I lost in the playoffs, John.
Oh man.
It was rough. But I would like to thank Josh Allen because without him, I would never have made the playoffs. So good job, Josh.
I narrowly missed the playoffs due to many, many injuries. And then, of course, during the consolation games, I friggin' just absolutely dominated everybody and scored the most points. I'm like, now these guys show up and Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow have like 80-point weeks. It's like, oh, Jesus.
Oh no, we've always had our championship game like during the last week of the season, which presents its own special challenges too. But
yeah, oh yeah, yep.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I mean, well, Dano had Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams against the Vikings, and that was just, you know.
Oh yeah.
That wasn't gonna work. That wasn't gonna end well for me. Oh well. Anyway. Congrats, guys. All right, so. Back on here. There's Regal. Yeah, 2022. I mean, we've done a lot of episodes and a lot of good shows on Wayback Playback. And, we're still going to try to, there's still some shows and matches that I want to do. And I figure our guest hosts want to do that we're going to get around to. So this is one of them. I mean, this is obviously a historically significant show. Yeah. But I think we've run through a lot of the good WCW stuff already, so that's going to be tricky going forward.
Oh, Regal threw him right on the back of his head. Nice.
Yeah. Well. Oh yeah. I mean, Edge had to have surgery. You know, Edge was down for a while. I think in end of 2003 and then start of 2004, going into 2004. Yeah. And you know, being dropped on the back of your neck that many times is part of it. I mean, Angle needed surgery. Austin needed surgery. Jeez.
Benoit.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
Regal stretch.
Yes.
Yes. How can you not love? How can you not love this guy?
He's the best.
And you know, after, I mean, I appreciate Edge now more too. You know, after. I think Edge appreciates it more too. He's a guy who got to come back after, you know, thinking his career is done.
Yep.
Oh, biting the arm. Good job. That's what. There you go.
Yeah. Oh, damn! He got to the ropes.
Yep. Yeah, I mean Edge is over at this point, but he's not. You know, he's not what he would be. He basically, to get over at the level he was being pushed at, he basically had to steal Matt Hardy's fiance.
Right, with the whole Lita situation.
And then
it's funny, they kept pushing him, and he really wasn't getting over.
No, not and the way he should. And then all of a
sudden, he does that. Everybody's like, "Wow, what a sleazeball!" Then Lita starts dressing like that. He
cut that promo. He cut that promo on Matt. It's like, okay, you know. Okay, you know, yeah, Matt had gotten his shots, and he's like, okay, you know, UMF-er, and just goes wild on him. And everybody's like, yeah, that's what we were looking for. That's kind of the fire we were looking for, you know.
And then Lita started dressing pretty provocatively. They do the live sex show, and then it's over from there. Oh, yeah. Edge got over.
Yep.
Thanks to Lita.
Thanks to Lita, yeah. And having good matches, too, that always helps, yeah.
Oh, of course.
There we go. Ah, the leg lariat, yeah. Ah, the flying leg lariat. That's not done anymore.
It's funny, though. Matt Hardy never really reached that pinnacle. Never really.
Well, he did. He did an Impact, but he had to be, like, a completely different. He had to do, like, all the broken Matt stuff, though, to get there. Oh, man. Oh,
ref bump.
So Regal pulls him into the spear, and Nick Patrick gets squashed between them, which is you have to do kind of an impressive ref bump to take out somebody as big as Nick Patrick.
Right.
Yeah. That's what I think a lot of refs and a lot of wrestlers forget. You know, the bigger the official, the better the bump you have to do. All right. So we had a second pair of brass knucks somewhere. We will not speculate on where they were.
Told you can't trust this guy.
Unless he fish, I mean, if they had showed him fishing him out of Nick Patrick's pocket and then doing it, that would have been something. But
I think they missed it.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's what he did. I think we're just saying he had a second pair of knucks. Come on! Ah, no, not this way. And they're confiscating somebody's sign. And Regal is your Intercontinental Champion.
Yes, Regal did it. Nice.
Yeah.
And Regal is the new Intercontinental Champion.
The power of the punch, folks.
Kind of a surprise victory there, considering Edge was getting a bit of a push.
Yeah, it was a surprise, but I mean it. You know, but the Heat brother, I mean, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, you needed something, you needed something to do going forward with him. I'm trying to remember what they did with Regal after this. Oh, Michael Cole's there.
I believe Regal started feuding with RVD after this, didn't he?
Yeah. Michael. Power of the punch. Yes, there we go. Oh, actually, No Way Out 2002 is the rematch. Edge versus Regal, brass knucks on a pole match.
Wow. Don't remember that at all. Wow.
Block that. That's fine. Well, if we ever do No Way Out 2002, then we know.
I know Austin versus Jericho was the main event, but I don't remember that.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's one of the reasons we're here. And then, and then it's Regal and Rob Van Dam at Mania. So you're right. All right, here we are. Atlanta, Phillips Arena.
Remember the NWO at NWO.
Well, yeah, that's what everybody remembers from that show.
You think the fact that they're in Atlanta, Georgia, the Royal Rumble might be a little bit more WWE-centric, but it's not. They're completely ignoring it.
The reason they're running the Rumble in Atlanta, because they can now. Oh, your special guest referee, Jacqueline Moore. Yay.
Oh, yeah.
Who don't like Jacqueline? All right, so Hall of Fame level ref. Hall of Fame level wrestlers.
Who's tougher, Jacqueline or Jazz?
I wouldn't want to place bets on that. I suspect Jazz is tougher, but I mean Jacqueline's lasted so long in this business. Lasted, I guess.
And they both train with the guys.
Yeah, I know. So
it's pretty amazing.
Both quite capable. Jazz, the longtime champion of Shine Wrestling.
Jazz and Trish had a pretty long feud.
They did.
Almost never ending, but it wasn't bad. It felt like that was almost the beginning of them giving the girls more time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it was a gradual thing, but yes. Once they got, once they got Trish wrestling at the level they wanted, it was, And then they had a few other girls wrestling, and Fit Finley became an agent, and, I mean, I probably have the details out of order, but. Yeah. All right, let's see here. What did we do? So
overhand. she broke her hand.
Gosh. Oh, and we didn't. Did we not have a women's match at No Way Out? Does not look like we did. Well, they had so much going on, though. It's crazy.
Was that Goldust against RVD at No Way Out?
Did they do that at No Way Out? Let me see here. Yeah, they did. How about it?
Nice.
All right, there she is. There's Trish Stratus. Yay. Purple puppies.
Nice.
There he is babbling about purple puppies. That's our boy.
She got that broken hand.
She does. No argument there. Let's see. Yeah, what are they doing? Oh, okay. Let's see. So, yeah, they got Jazz. Okay. Jazz, feuding with. What do they do at WrestleMania for the ladies? Did they do a ladies match at WrestleMania? Tell me they did, please. Oh, yeah, they did.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, Trish versus Canada. Jazz yeah. versus Lita at WrestleMania. Okay.
Come on, Trish and Canada.
That's right. Trish and Jazz and Lita. Okay.
Basically,
well, you know, sometimes you throw a third person in a match and it's a good thing.
Basically, if you think about it, after Hogan Rock, I think people thought the show was over. You had the women's match, then you had Triple H versus Jericho. Well,
the show should have been over after
Hogan Rock. Yeah.
No offense. Actually, maybe the show should have been over after Trish and Jazz and Lita.
Oh,
they should have put Hogan and Rock on last if they were going to do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to have the title match going on last when it's Triple H. Yeah, I'll bet Triple H regrets that actually.
Yeah, 100% has to. And you know Hogan and Rock are just like laughing, like, okay.
Okay, guys.
Yeah, whatever you think. Although Hogan, I'm sure, had a fun thing with Vince and The Rock thinking like, oh yeah, I'll be the heel. Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah, but then they did 2003 and they turned the tables on him when Hogan's the baby face and Rock's the heel and nobody cheers for, and nobody's cheering for Hogan. Hey, what a surprise.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, Trish is holding the hand, folks. And here he goes. Yeah. And perfectly okay with, I mean, Jacqueline's a good choice for this. You're an enforcer referee.
Break her hand, ref. Come on, get in there. Oh, here we go. Look, Jazz and Jack pushing.
What do you say to me? Mm-hmm. Oh, nope. Jazz is too... Not counting them. Oh.
Well, that hesitation cost Jazz, though.
Yes, it did. All right. Oh, there we go. Dropping the head. Okay. Nope. Oh, man.
Trish's transformation was pretty remarkable, like in ring. Like when she stepped in 02, could barely do anything. And then all of a sudden in 2000, and then by 02, she's pretty damn good.
Also, I mean, she was an athlete. You know, she was an athlete. She was athletic. It just, she wasn't a natural. You know, I mean, she had to work hard at it. Jazz, not that Jazz was a natural too, but she's another one. Like you said, training with the men, knew what she was doing in there.
Yep. Training with good old JYD and my buddy Rod Price.
Yep. Apparently Bankman is at the Rumble. Not to be confused with Banksy. All right. Oh, boom. All right, here we go.
Match is actually pretty physical.
Trish Stratus, your winner.
Oh, it's a bulldog. For as short as it was, pretty physical match. Not bad at all.
Well, man, that's, you know, there's really no point in, you know, there's really no point in taking it longer than you have to, especially if you know you're going to have a long Royal Rumble match. And trust me, they did know they were going to have a really long Royal Rumble match.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Did you know who was going to win the Rumble? Was it predictable for you this year?
I think most everybody, I mean, that was my first year, like, as a Torch staffer, but I think pretty much everybody had the idea what was going to happen. Okay. Oh, and yeah, the Trish and Jazz will have a rematch on the SmackDown after Raw, which was in North Charleston. Okay. Well, earlier tonight. Okay, I guess we can do this part. I guess we can do Ric Flair being interviewed by the coach, and there's his daughter Megan and his son Reed.
Hey, look at that.
All right, this is probably a good stopping point. Well, not a great stopping point, but a good stopping point, I suppose, right here at 32 minutes and 50 seconds. Well, Actually, I'm gonna let it go, John. Let's get the video package in.
All right.
Yeah, street fight. Rick, I'm sorry, I stopped. Mr. McMahon and Ric Flair in the street fight. There must be a winner, says Jim Ross. Oh, thank you, Jim. Here we go. November 19th, 2001. Linda McMahon and people have sold their half of the WWF to, and the kids have sold their half to Ric Flair.
The consortium.
And the consortium is Ric Flair.
Yes. That's a pretty good surprise.
And Vince goes nuts, yeah.
Pretty damn good surprise.
Well, yeah, because you knew Flair was. I mean, we had heard Flair was coming at some point, but when and how? Yeah.
Right. That Vince's reaction was priceless. Him with that weird face grabbing his ear was priceless.
He saw Vince McMahon's contract as a wrestler, which is another fine case of I guess you'd call ribbing on the square, because all of the McMahons have like talent contracts in addition to, being owners. In fact, last I heard, Shane McMahon was still getting paid a bunch of money not to wrestle, which is.
Yeah, is he gone or what? What's up with Shane?
No, he's not gone. He's just getting paid. But he does have a talent contract and he's not wrestling. With Flair's robe, yeah. Oh my goodness, not the pipe to the head. Oh yeah, they were in Charlotte when Flair came back. That's right. Okay.
You think Vince is like, I got a feud with every big name ever.
Well, yeah, I mean, once the writers figured out that, best way to get Vince's attention is to write stuff for him. And the best way to move up the ladder is to be the guy writing stuff for Vince McMahon. Well, you know how Vince hates that. Yes, men, though, right? Let's say you had a rich guy who was a wannabe wrestler. Let's say Tony Khan was a wannabe wrestler, would you be able to, would you blame him for wanting to like face Ric Flair in a street fight, even knowing that you're going to put Ric Flair over?
Right.
Plus Vince McMahon likes showing off that, he's a muscle and fitness guy.
Yeah. Even though he can barely move.
Yeah. I mean, Vince is awkward as a wrestler, but he's willing to take stupid bumps as he has proven. Plus, I don't know whether the guys respect him more for taking those bumps, but what was the story? Yeah, Mick Foley saw him after the cage match he did with Austin. And like he was, he took that bump where he landed, fell off the cage and went through the table, and he could barely walk. And, and he saw Mick Foley and just, stopped limping and started, pushing himself forward like he was walking normally, just to no sell it.
Yes. Yep. And supposedly,
okay. From, oh, like, and yeah, this is ass down. This, all red, this is gonna have to be where we stop it. I think 37 minutes even. Fine, let's call it 37 minutes even.
It's the most successful independent wrestling promotion of this generation. It's the place where the stars of today made their name. Now get the inside story of Ring of Honor from those that lived it with an honorable mention. Join Ring of Honor alumni Shane Hagedorn and his co-host Jeff Schwartz as they break down a classic Ring of Honor event every Tuesday and get the behind-the-scenes scoop and inside stories that you won't hear anywhere else. An honorable mention, available every Tuesday on your favorite podcast platforms. For exclusive bonus content, plus early ad-free access to every show, check out patreon.com/anhonorablepod.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track, Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com.
So next week, kids, Ric Flair and Vince McMahon in a street fight, which I think is something we could all enjoy. And, oh, by the way, Chris Jericho defends the WWF title against The Rock, the Undisputed title against The Rock. Oh, my goodness. Yep, it was just 20 years ago that we had all this talent on one show. And speaking of all the talent on one show, I mean, the Rumble match is stacked. We already know that, you know, you have Austin and Hunter and Angle and Booker in there. And what now? See, Mr. Perfect, right? I'm going to see how many we already talked about Goldust being in there. Let's see. Undertaker. We mentioned Undertaker, right? Okay. Let's see. I'm trying to think of who else we can safely say we talked about. DDP. We talked about DDP. They had a couple of surprises. And perfect. Okay. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun when we get to that in a couple of weeks, John. And oh, yeah. By the way, I'm on Twitter at RealPatMcNeil. Jim is at Jim Valley. I know Jim was very busy watching, Wrestle Kingdom. He's trying to get a Pacific Rim podcast, and I don't know that. And John is at John Paz.
Two-man power trip on Twitter and Instagram, yep.
That's okay. Two-man power trip. T-W-O, man power trip, yes. And John, what do you have coming up on Taskmaster Talks?
We're going to be talking Clash of the Champions 32.
Ooh.
Which is a very interesting one with Hogan and Mach against Flair and the Giants. So good stuff.
Oh, yes, in Vegas, right?
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
And the Sherry Martel, Colonel Parker wedding.
Oh, well, there you go. I don't miss that, folks.
Yeah, I think the most important part is Miss Elizabeth debuts and the Road Warriors re-debut. So it's a big show.
That's good. That's good stuff. We might have to watch along that at some point. And by the way, if you're listening, hey, leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for us over on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever your pods are cast. It doesn't matter. And if you'd like to know more about Steve Austin, Triple H, Kurt Angle, Booker T, or referee Nick Patrick, feel free to visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or The Wrestling Observer, or go download your local library app because they're all in books. John, do you remember the punchline?
It is the same way back time, same playback channel.
We'll do all that next week, and sign up for a patron if you like, patreon.com/waybackplayback. And yes, we will return. We have two more parts to this show, and it's been fun so far. We'll keep it going. So join us next week. There'll be football playoffs going on and everything. But until then, yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.